0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Breaking news from the Killorgan Puck Fair. Killorgan Puck Fair, we just got this email from the to Katrina, who was on with us on Monday, starting off this debate about the goat hanging up in the heat wave, which has now been extended for 3 days in Killorgan. The goat went up at 6:30 yesterday evening. Katrina's just got an email from the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, which says the department has been in contact with the independent private veterinary practitioner attending the fair and welcomes the decision of the organisers, which has today been communicated to the department to take the goat down. To take the goat down at 11:30 this morning. Now, we need, is anyone in the square in Killorgan, any shop, any passers-by, anyone in a car that's listening, will you ring us on 0818 715 815 or joe@rt.ie 51551 text to confirm that the department tell us they've been in contact with the independent private veterinary practitioner attending the fair, and the department welcomes the decision of the organisers, which has today been communicated to the department to take the goat down at 11:30 this morning. Please let us know if that has actually happened, because that is not what the organisers, up to 2 minutes past three yesterday when they were on the programme and saying, or they were on again, saying they were not changing their mind about the goat, even though the weather has actually got hotter than was even predicted. David Long. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
David, tell us what happened. Your
well,
sister.
My sister Irene died in Australia. I was informed of her death and that arrangements were being made for a cremation and burial in Australia. I felt it was not the place to bury her. I would rather have her buried in the family plot in Dean's Grange in Dublin.
Okay.
So I arranged with the funeral undertakers to have her ashes sent to Dublin.
Okay.
Now, those ashes have arrived in Dublin, complete with the only death certificate that exists. I don't have a death certificate, but it is with the ashes. Now, my daughter in Dublin, to whom the ashes were being sent, was informed that there would be some customs duty on these ashes. Now, how you on earth you can put a commercial value on somebody's ashes, I don't know. The amount of money that they were requesting was, I think, €127, give or take. My beef is not with on pots.
I know that,
pots
yeah.
have been perfect throughout this. My beef was with customs and excise people in Dublin.
How they can have the nerve
to charge a commercial price on somebody's ashes is way beyond me. I really was disgusted.
Mm-hmm. And what are they now, valuing? Are your sisters and condolences on her passing? Are your sister's ashes in a valuable casket or something, or a box? Or
well, I think they would probably be. They call it a packet because that's what they're talking. The package will be sent back to Australia. The duty isn't paid on Sunday. They call it a package. I have no idea whether it is packed in a plastic bag, wrapped in a box. I've no idea. I doubt very much it's in an urn. I could be wrong. But an urn can't be valued at the sort of money they're talking. It's not in gold. I just asked the funeral undertakers, can you please forward the ashes to my daughter in Dublin?
So you didn't ask for an urn or a special packaging?
But
they valued it. Insofar as you know, David, how did they value it at €327.78?
I have no idea. They cannot. That is the sort of thing you'd find with a commercial product, that it has a value. And you pay duty on the value of the product, which is probably for you for resale of some description or for use by the importer. I cannot understand how they can put a value on somebody's ashes.
But I just wonder, is this a standard valuation that they... Has anyone else got a valuation on a package, in this case from Australia, of €327.78? That's the bizarre. But anyway, and Puss say, the as you said, the charges are applied by revenue commissioners through customs.
That's correct.
What appears to have happened here, the charge was automatically applied by customs to the item. These are applied to goods coming into the EU from outside. Items are held until the charges are paid. You got onto one post, David.
No, I haven't personally. My daughter in Dublin has. And she was told, she's been emailing them. They told her, don't send us any more emails.
Okay, well, let's go
to... We don't want to know.
Let's go to Tanja. Am I correcting you? Am I pronouncing your name?
Tanja, yes. T-A-N-J-A. Tanja.
Tanja. Okay, yes. Tanja Long. Good afternoon, Tanja.
Good afternoon.
And condolences on the passing of your Aunt Irene.
So you
took it up at this end.
Yes.
And how did you get on?
That's right. So I basically just was told not to send more than one email. And I think that was on the 25th of July. Mm-hmm. And so far I've heard nothing back. And the cutoff date is the 14th of August. So myself and my father just decided to, just to bring it to light. I really feel like it's just a sign of the times. And
what response did you get back from him, Paul Stanya?
I haven't had any response.
Oh, you haven't had a response?
Bar the one telling me only to send the one email.
And have you any idea where the ashes are now?
So I believe they're probably in the hands of Aunt Post.
Yeah, but where? It's obvious Aunt Post have it because they're trying to collect money and they've no option. They're obliged to collect money. But did they say they're being held in the Port Leisha depot or the Dublin depot or the Cork depot or?
They didn't. The girl told me, though, that she could see, like when I originally spoke to the GPO, the girl told me that given the reference number, she said she could see that they were human ashes.
Okay.
So it obviously says it somewhere on the document.
And was she baffled? Was she baffled as well as to these custom charges?
She was, yeah.
Okay. We've been on to Aunt Puss. They're in the process, I'm told, of locating them, and they've attached a great urgency to it as well. They say no charge will be incurred, but they do say that most postal authorities, including Aunt Puss, do prohibit the posting of human remains. Is it? I don't know how else you'd get them home, and maybe through a FedEx or DHL or whatever. But they're fairly adamant they're going to be able to find them. Hopefully, they'll do it before 3 o'clock. But they say what they're saying is it's not a good idea to post human remains in terms of the irreplaceable value of them. David, was that a mistaken idea then to put them in the post?
No, I don't think so. There's no other way that they could be got to Dublin.
Well, there is private parcel companies, is there not?
Oh, there's private parcel posts, but I depended on the funeral undertakers who had the ashes to send them. They said they would send them, certainly, and that was paid for, etc. But at this end, I mean, my ashes returned to Dublin. I will have my ashes returned to Dublin, possibly the same way, together with the dirt. Death certificate, and there is a form that a funeral undertaker will complete, saying it is possible to send these, that they have been, mine can go back straight back to Dublin, but I don't know now, will there be a duty due on them?
Because you're in Spain at the moment, that's where you're based.
I'm in Spain, yes, okay. I am indeed.
But they are clear, it is not the case that... human ashes and incur a custom charge. In fact, most postal authorities, including Aunt Puss, actually prohibit the posting of human remains, i.e. ashes, and as it falls under that definition. So I presume they're saying you have to go to DHL and you have to get it registered and you have to get it signed for at the other end.
Well, so, I would assume the funeral undertakers in Australia would have known the correct procedure.
And maybe the Australian Post Office allow it. And the Irish Post Office, they say, like most postal authorities, don't allow it. Because I remember when we were doing, now it's well over 2 years ago, when it was in February, it's now 22, it was in February 2020 when the Wuhan, and we were talking to Irish people living in Wuhan, and we were talking, yes. People were ringing and saying, we'd love to post you out some Barry's tea, and because they were confined, and the caller from Wuhan told us that the Chinese postal system is very odd in, or different, I suppose, it's very different in what they will actually allow in the post. For example, they will allow you to post a live dog from one part of China to another, and but they will not allow you post books because they might be. But anyway, so it's different rules for different. I don't know if Australia has it. But anyway, and Post are saying clearly that the ashes will be located, hopefully this afternoon, and there will be no charge. But they say in future. And David, you're a young man, and Tanya is young as well. So won't
I'm not. I'm not a young man.
You
I'm
are,
sorry.
David. If you're in the glorious sunshine out there, and you sound very strong, you sound very strong and healthy.
But I am.
That's thank God. And but you're fortunate in your own health. But I see you haven't been fortunate in your family's health. Your wife passed away as well.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And when 27 years together.
Oh God. And when did she pass?
Very sad. She passed on the 14th of July.
Oh, this year?
Yes.
Only a few weeks ago, okay. Well, condolences.
Not much between the two of them. Okay. Incidentally, the home that my sister was in, they asked me, did I want any of Irene's belongings that were there in the home?
Okay.
And there was an old, tatty, very tatty, a photograph album.
Oh, great.
An expired passport and a photo. And I says, can you please send me... And there was
absolutely
a lot of other items I had no interest in. But they sent those to me in Spain. They arrived at Correos, which is the Spanish postal authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pay €7.50 duty on the tattiest of photo albums. And it was listed what it was. Photo album in brackets, tatty. But I had to pay duty on that.
Yeah. As well as postage, obviously. The postages can be the big...
And the postage, yes.
And when did your sister Irene go to Australia?
She went... Oh, Tanya?
1991.
And did she go out? So she was out there, 31 years. Was she to go out there to work or family or... What brought her out to Sydney?
I think she just wanted a change of life, lifestyle.
Yeah.
And she went to work, and which she did. She worked there.
Okay. And David, you're living in Spain, are you?
I am. I'm living in Spain since 1995.
Oh, wow. 27 years. Okay. And what's the temperature where you are today?
About 34, but it's the humidity that gets everybody. Humidity is probably around 77% to 80%.
And that means what? It's very sticky and unbearable.
Oh, hot, sticky, sticky. You could have six showers a day.
Well, I can tell you, we're not far behind you.
I know you're doing very well today and the next few days.
Yeah, it's a heat wave. We're in a heat wave.
Yes.
Anyway, David, we will keep you informed throughout the programme, and I just need an up-to-date statement as to what is actually happening on Puss. And they're a brilliant company.
Just to add to that, Joe, that I'm sure the Australian authorities used a reputable... like Amazon, they use DHL, they use the other one, I'm not sure what
the various companies, UPS, FedEx.
UPS, but they still incur customs and excise.
Oh, I know that.
It may well have come in via FedEx or via somewhere else.
Well, that's interesting.
But it got transferred to the Am Post because of the revenue.
Okay, we'll try and find out more as we go through the day. But David, condolences on the passing of Irene and indeed Carol, so close together, your wife and your sister and Tanya. That's your mother we're talking about, Tanya. Carol, so condolences.
That was
there.
My dad's second marriage.
Yeah,
okay. Second marriage.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
But equally as loved.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, Tanya, thanks indeed. And David, thanks indeed. And condolences, and
thank you for allowing us to talk about it on your radio program.
You're more
greatly
than welcome. That's what we're here for.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Tanya, and condolences again. Joe at rte.ie 51551 is our text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
As I said earlier, we're looking for anyone in the square in Killalagna, because we have a statement from the Department of Agriculture, said they spoke to the vet and an agreement was made that the goat would be taken down at 11:30 this morning. We haven't been able to get anyone on the comité or anyone locally to look up and see is the goat down. So we're depending on our listeners in Killalagna, or if anyone is near Killalagna. I know traffic does be tough during the Puck Fair. Would you go in and see, has the department instruction been adhered to? The department said, the department has been in contact with the independent private veterinary practitioner attending the fair and welcomes the decision of the organisers, which has today been communicated to the department to take the goat down at 11:30 this morning. Now, even reading that, there's no other country in the world where you get an email like that from our wonderful civil service, because there's no other country in the world, as far as I know, that hangs or suspends a goat for 3 days in a heat wave. And the argument is we've been doing it for 400 years. But anyway, let that email go down in history. The department has been in contact with the independent private veterinary practitioner attending the fair and welcomes the decision of the organisers, which has today been communicated to the department to take the goat down. Anyone coming in twice, I said, what is that about? At 11:30 this morning. By the way, on Monday week now, we're doing our Michael Collins special, and we hope, as usual, to make a difference to what other programmes have to do, which is historians and the impact. We want anyone who has been told as they grew up by relatives, or indeed if people are still alive, which is highly unlikely, that would have a story about Michael Collins. There's so many stories about him. The one story we were looking for was that when he visited Port Leisure Prison, it was Maryborough Prison, it's now the Midlands, on the Sunday as he was travelling to Cork, and he met some of the prisoners. I think one man was called Tom Malone, and Tom would have been, obviously he was in prison, so he was on the anti-treaty side, and apparently they had a conversation where Michael Collins said, we have to stop this madness, and Tom agreed. And I just love, for example, a descendant or a relative of Tom to tell us what he said afterwards about Michael and Michael Collins and the impact at that. Katrina is there now, I'm told. So Michael Collins, Joe at rte.ie. We're looking for people. If you have an obsession with Michael Collins, which people have, you can tell us that as well. Katrina, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
So well done. It's Katrina Lowry from the Hilltops Sanctuary. The department have said the goat, that they were in touch, and their understanding is that the goat was to be taken down shortly after they were in touch, which is 11:30 this morning. Can we verify that the goat is down?
No, I can't. I haven't verified it, and nobody else has either.
Well, they have to take it. It's the Department of Agriculture.
Yes, exactly.
Now, the Gardaí have just confirmed the King Puck was taken down from his cage at the fair this morning.
Oh, brilliant. That is great. And do you know if he's saying that?
Well, everyone's saying it. All I need is eyes on at this stage. But I cannot see how the organisers can defy the Department of Agriculture.
I have to say, you know, the last time you covered it, there was a lovely opportunity from that sculptor to offer a beautiful sculpture and rather than suspending a goat, you know, every year, you know.
And that was Patrick O'Reilly, who was on the programme yesterday. Now, the organisers came on again yesterday. They protested a lot on, what day do we do it? It's now Thursday, Tuesday, that they weren't getting getting award in Edgeways. But I thought they were. But they were on again yesterday saying, but they came on again to say, we're not changing our mind. Well, it's been changed. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's been changed for them. So well done you, Katrina, and your battle now is to see can that be held? Can is that the end of the tradition?
Yes, but do I have to add, I am really just a messenger, a voice. I do feel passionately, but what the committee is not seeing, the level of public upset about this.
Yeah.
There is, and even on with Philip Boucher Hayes, there was an expert on who said this should not be happening. We can't argue with the legislation, and we can't argue with experts, can we? You know?
No, we can't. We can't.
Yeah.
So the goat is down, and apparently the temperatures are now above 26 down in Killargan.
Yes, but you know, in a metal cage, it would be higher, as you know, Jokes metal radiator. Yeah,
I didn't realise. I asked the question. I asked Declan Falvey on Tuesday was, how big is the cage? I said, was it a car parking space, which is a measurement most people know. And you said it wasn't. I thought it might be half a car parking space.
Yes.
But I saw a photograph this morning or late last night. It's about one-tenth the size of a car parking space.
So wherever the goat goes to the toilet, he's sitting and lying in that area, isn't he? Where else would he go? But you know what, Joe? There's a real opportunity here for them to go around the world on every media if they end this, because people look to festivals going, holding up their hands and saying, we can do better. And I hope they do grasp this opportunity. I really hope they do. And you know what? Because it's been an emotional few days, because the level of hate has been crazy for trying to just get a goat out of
the level of hate to who?
To lots of people, but including myself, everything from misogyny to telling me I'm looking for attention and telling me I am a plummy female and amongst other things. Yes, and my accent, and I've nothing else to do, and I'm not helping the homeless. But you know what? At the moment, I'm helping 120 abused animals. That's my part to play in the world, you know.
Francesca Ayres. Stay there, Katrina, if you would, please.
Yes.
Francesca, are you in Killargan today, by any chance?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm actually...
Well, can you ring someone for us in Killargan to go down and make sure the cage is empty?
I've messaged someone to ask them. Unfortunately, anybody who I know who is around is working at the moment, so nobody's able to go down, which is a real shame. But I'll be going back through at about 4:30 this evening, so I'll be able to confirm then. But If he really has been taken down, I'm truly delighted. I'm delighted for the animal, and it's a shame that it had to come down to peer pressure, which I feel that it's really what it's down to, but I'm absolutely delighted for him that he's been taken down, and I hope that the organisers, as Katrina said, the organisers have seen this as an opportunity to show that they can step up and do the right thing for animal welfare.
But it's the statement.
It's a big step forward.
Well, the statement from the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine is quite clear. They say this morning they were in contact with the private vet attending the fair. Obviously, they had a conversation, and they say they now welcome the decision of the organisers to take the goat down at 11:30. So we presume it's down. We presume it's down. But anyway,
I haven't heard otherwise.
Now, the only thing is Francesca, will the goat stay down? Obviously, he's not going back up in this weather. They couldn't do that. But, they did do it. But what about next year? How are you going
Well, I think that they really have to take this opportunity to see that there isn't the need for an animal to be effectively tortured capturing it, taking it away
from
its herd.
Well, you know they vehemently
putting it into a cage.
Yeah, but
they say they're doing the right thing by this animal.
Yeah.
But if everything is true, that it really is a wild animal, it's being hunted around the hills, it's being removed from its herd. Now, these are male puck goats. They have to fight to have, you know, domination over their females and to be the head of their herd. So you're removing him, and then you've got to, they're releasing him back. He's got to then either try and find his herd, or he's got to go through, you know, trying to hunt them down and then try and take back his position in the herd again.
Yeah.
And that's after basically being terrorised for 3 days by being around people.
When you heard the organisers respond to the pressure on Tuesday here on Liveline, they said, we'll put in a fan.
It's not acceptable. I mean, we were sat out not even for 10, 15 minutes with all the windows open today in the car, just for about 10 or 15 minutes, and the temperature was ridiculous. To say that they're just going to stick a fan in front of him, that's not a solution to the issue. That's not a solution to the issue of him getting warm. It's not a solution to the issue of him being terrorised and being exposed to circumstances that no wild animal should ever have to experience. You know, why are we finding this kind of behaviour acceptable?
You heard the arguments. 400 years, it represents the fact when the English landlord, or at the time, he had control of the fair in Killorglin, and he wouldn't allow... They paid to bring every animal in, cows and pigs and sheep, and somebody realised that the goats weren't mentioned, and he brought in the goat as a symbol of opposition to the landlord, and that's where the goat is. That's why the goat is now the symbol of the Puck Fair, and that's why the goat is now suspended for the 3 days. Well, the suspension is over. He's been grounded now, hopefully, and hopefully he's back in the wild. Well, now, the other thing as well, Francesca, I noticed the other day, they charge €10 for a photograph with the goat. Did you know that, Francesca?
I did know that, yeah.
Yeah, 10. Why did they charge €10?
Well, you've got to make your money for the fair somewhere.
Well, they get sponsorship from the biggest drink, the biggest drink company in the country. The pubs are open at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I know. I think the whole thing is an absolute farce. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for traditions.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to have traditions, that's fine. But you don't need to take a living animal and do that to him. It's not fair. Yeah. There's animal welfare legislation in this country for a reason. And that animal welfare legislation needs to be upheld. And it shouldn't be that the organisers cave to peer pressure. It should be the organisers step up and say, we don't need a living animal for this, because everybody knows the history, everybody knows the story. We can quite happily put the statue in the middle of the town. We don't need a living creature. People want to go and see goats. Go to a pet farm. Go and see goats at a pet farm, which are used to being around people, that have been acclimatised to that kind of behaviour. But don't take a wild animal and subject it to that. It's not fair.
And the department itself, now, the department obviously, it was Katrina, but we were told quite a number of people after the programme emailed the Department of Agriculture Animal Welfare Division. But surely they've had 400 years notice that goat has been up there every year. It's happened every year, bar the COVID years.
And it comes down to exactly the same reason as to why they don't step in to monitor horse fairs more carefully. And it comes into exactly the same reason as to why nobody steps in to enforce any other animal welfare legislation, because everybody's too afraid to. Nobody wants to turn around to the park organisers and say, you can't do this, because...
Well, the department have, it looks like. They were adamant, as I said, at 2:02 yesterday, and again, apologies to Catherine Thomas and the Ray Darcy team, but they were adamant at 2:03 yesterday that the goat was going up and staying up, but anyway, the goat is now down, hopefully. Francesca, what type of reaction that Katrina there was talking about, the reaction she got, which wasn't pleasant in the main from a lot of people, what reaction did you get when, because I know you're not in Killorgan these few days, but you are based in Killorgan. What reaction did you get to your contribution on Tuesday?
I had no reaction at all.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't say anything that wasn't true.
Well,
everybody knows the situation. And everybody's entitled to their opinion.
But the number of the organisers said that you said that the Killorgan is awash with alcohol during the week.
And in the evenings, I stand by that comment.
Okay. And one of the organists said nobody's no drunken revelers jump on cars. But well, that was another caller, wasn't it?
Well, the organisers are well within their rights to state their opinions, and I can only go by what I've seen in the past.
And Katrina, do goats sleep? Are you there, Katrina?
Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah.
Goats are really, really sensitive.
Okay.
They're sensitive, like Francesca pointed out, to the temperatures, but they're sensitive to their environment. And I don't know whether you saw the goat being paraded down the street at the opening. Like, he looked really, really stressed. And you know what, Joe, I have to add, it's not just about this goat. It is about all the goats to come. And it's about what we're... You see, I'm constantly work with young people as well about treating animals better, because if they treat animals better, they'll treat each other better. And what are we teaching all the kids down there? You can grab a goat, you can put them in a metal cage, and you can hoist them up in the air. What does that say to children down there? Like, you know, what is that message, you know?
Okay, by the way, Keane's, the super value in Killargan, have just told us the goat is down. The goat is down.
Great.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
The goat has landed. The goat has landed. Bernie Bergen, stay with us. Bernie Bergen is in Newport in Mayo. Bernie, your point,
Hello,
please.
Hello, Joe.
How are you? Your point, please.
My point is, I'm delighted to hear the goat has come down, but really, how many people go along just to see the goat? I think it must be because of all the other entertainment that is on around that people go. I heard a gentleman on the other day, he phoned in and said he had brought his children and they had a great time there. Would it have made a difference if the goat was up in the air or not? Probably not.
So is Killargan now deserted?
Yes, but I'm wondering, have they all said, God, the goat is down, we better go home?
And
what are we going to do now? There's no goat.
Is there tumbleweed blowing up and down the main street in Killargan now that the puck has been, hopefully he's been released?
Oh, there's probably only goat droppings. Oh, God knows.
I hope they'll not keep them in a cage on the ground and charge a tenner for selfies.
Well, that's another thing, though. I know the man was on the other day, and we have traditions and all the rest of it. I'm sure you know about the goats that are out on Hoth that are doing the job there.
Patrick O'Reilly, the sculptor, he has goats in his back garden out and out. And they've saved Hoth. Touch wood. Where's a bit of wood? So they've saved Hoth from gorse fires this year, apparently.
Yes, out grazing, and there's been a programme, and you see the lady with that's minding the goats out there. So, I mean, there is, I think, if it was thought about, there's an opportunity in Killargan to do something about the native wild goat. Maybe have some pen of a quarter of an acre or something where they have a goat or they have two goats that people can learn about goats on the ground, their natural habitat and their use. What is the point of hoisting it up in the air where that's totally unnatural? Where people could see a goat, learn about the goat, keep the goat on the ground, like in some sort of a proper area.
Okay, TJ.
Have the tradition, but not hoist it up in the air?
Say with us, TJ O'Connor's in Killargan. Where are you, TJ?
Hi, Joe. I'm here in the Leaf and Larder. It's a delicatessen just adjacent to the puck stand.
And where is the puck?
The puck is on the ground and undercover, away from the sun.
And he's down. He's down from the cage.
He's
and
down
the,
from the stand. Yeah.
But is he still in the cage?
To be honest with you, I can't see. But I believe that he's, he's undercover at the bottom of the stand.
Okay. And any idea what time he came down at, TJ?
Well, he hasn't been up there for a number of hours now.
Great.
To be honest, I'm inside, obviously.
Okay,
we're
and you're
quite
working
busy
away. Great.
At the moment. But I've been out there on numerous occasions this morning, so he's definitely hasn't been up there since, it's now around 2 o'clock, but he's definitely down since about 11, I would
think.
Yeah,
that's what the apartment told us today. It said the goat was to come down at 11:30.
Yeah.
That looks like that was
it. I think that it was before that, to be honest.
Now, TJ, have people fled Killargan now that the goat is down? Because that was the only reason they go, apparently.
Are people, what, Joe, sorry?
Have people left Killargan in their droves because the goat is no longer suspended. I suspect they haven't.
It seems to be, I think, you know, to be honest, I think that there seems to be a lot of people out there.
Yeah, of course, still, yeah.
So I don't think people are leaving in their droves at all. I guess, you know, the heat has obviously had an impact on people. You know, they're probably going to the beach and that, and, you know, so, but, yeah. You know, I suppose all I can say is that, you know, I've been living in Clogden for many years now, and, you know, I can just say that you can see that the animal welfare and the welfare of the goat is, yeah, is you know, at
the how warm is it in Clogden now, TJ?
Yeah.
How warm is it in Clogden now?
How warm? It's about, I think it's about 23 or 24 degrees.
Okay, the Met Office are saying 25 and rising, but anyway. Are you glad the goat is down?
Am I glad the goat is down? Well,
yeah,
obviously in this heat.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
But in fairness, you know, all that I've ever observed is, you know, that the goat has been very well looked after. And, you know, I mean, it is the king puck. And for the couple of days of the festival, it's treated like that. You know, yeah, some people might have a view of, you know, there's ample, to me, from in as being uneducated in it, but, you know, there's ample space for the goat to move within the cage. And, you know, it's not unknown for animals to be, you know, to be used of that, for want of a better word.
Yeah, okay.
You know? Well, I think, to be honest, as a Clogden person, you know, I think it's an integral part of the pup fair, and you know, and I've never seen anything untoward being, you know, the animal has always been well looked after.
Yeah, okay. Do you think the goat will go back up next year?
Well, again, like I said, you know, sometimes we, you know, I would think that it is an integral part of the fair. You know, I really do. You know, in my opinion, you know, I care for animals, and I think that the puck is cared for the in the run up to the fair. And during the fair,
I
wouldn't have any problem at all if it's, you know, I would imagine that it's something that should continue. Like, it's been done for hundreds of years.
But is there any sense they won't try and put the goat back up tomorrow, will they?
I've no idea, Joe. You know, you'd need to probably talk to somebody
the only thing I'd say to you, TJ, the reaction we got when Katrina phoned us on Tuesday was, the sluice gates of Ardna Crusha in text messages opened, and they were 95% against the goat being suspended up in the air in a heat wave. They really were. People were very, very upset about it. Very upset about it. And I just wonder, has our whole position on animal welfare changed during the lockdown, when people got great solace and help and love from their family pets? But anyway, that's me just rambling at this stage. Anyway, TJ, I'll let you get back to TJ and Larder Delicatessen. What's sells?
Leaf and Larder. Leaf and Larder.
Leaf and Larder. And what's your biggest seller there now?
We have a pulled pork ciabatta, and we've got the famous, or the famous, I should say, puck pies.
And lots
of different home baking and
TJ, what's in a puck pie? Don't tell me there's goat meat.
No, there's no goat, Joe. No, it's a chicken. Chicken and ham.
Oh, lovely.
It's chicken and ham, leeks, and all variety of different vegetables and a kind of a cream sauce.
I wondered, does the poor puck feel that he's been made a scapegoat and all this row? But anyway, he's down in Yucca. Patrick O'Reilly is back on the sculpture. Patrick, you want to reiterate again your offer to the people of Clogden that you will design a goat.
Absolutely, I designed one, and I'm also delighted that they've taken the goat down. It shouldn't have been up, and hopefully this will be the end of the goat going back up. I'm sure they won't do it tomorrow, and there's enough public opposition that it'll never go back, that the goat will never go back up again. That would be wonderful.
Okay.
And
okay.
Anything I can do. And I will be down in Killaughlin next year to have one of those puck pies.
Have you on? Yesterday when you were on, you quoted poetry.
Yes.
Didn't you?
I quoted Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, yes. That's what people were looking for, the name of the poem.
I can save one life.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a short poem by Emily Dickinson.
And it was lovely. It was a lovely piece. Okay, Patrick, Guramina Mahogod, Francesca Ayres, well done. Katrina, well done. Bernie Bergen, Guramahogod in Newport, Mayo. Dennis McGrath, you want to wrap this up by saying you hope, what's your aspirations about the tradition?
I hope the tradition is put to bed once and for all. It's the worst load of paddy whackery, gombeanism you could possibly imagine in 2022. Hoisting a goat in a cage that you couldn't, now mind saying swing a cat, that goat can't move.
That's
I saw
good
the
point,
photographs
yeah.
you're
yeah.
talking about.
They were shocking.
And the other thing I'd like to mention, right? If I was down in Killaloe, bear in mind, Terry have just won the All-Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think they've missed a trick here. I would prefer to be standing with a photograph of me and the Sam Maguire.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, but then,
and standing with a photograph of a wild goat.
Yeah. Well, apparently, the other thing that's now emerging from Killaloe is that there's a water shortage in Killaloe because of the high number of people that are there and the fact that that's a heat wave. But anyway, and that reminds me, would people put out bowls of water for the birds, put them near a bush? The reason you put them near a bush, as you know, is if the birds are a small shallow bowl of cold water, and if the birds are drinking at the bowl, if a cat or a dog comes, they can hightail it into the bushes. Put a bowl of water. All the people who were distressed about the goat, rightfully so, one little thing we can all do is put out a bowl of water for the birds, put it preferably beside a hedge, and keep it topped up over these next few days for the animals. Okay, thanks indeed, Dennis. Guramina Mahogod. William Morrissey, you were inspector with the LSPCA, the Limerick, the Limerick Society.
After your conversation yesterday, and I was delighted that it was aired, I think it's absolutely, and I don't want to be, I know you don't like people to go on too much about your programme. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the greatest programmes that ever came on the air. Anyway, yesterday after you finished, I said there's only one way you're going to get this sorted, is to get onto the department and get a different vet to come out and say, no, that's not right. And it'll be done fairly fast. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, the Department of Fairness say they liaise with the vet, and that was the decision they all came to.
Yes.
Okay, and yeah, William, have you any idea, when a goat has been hoisted up by a crane or whatever into position, I'm not being facetious now, would a goat have a sense of, I know people say, oh, they climb mountains, so they're well used to heights, but they're well used to having their 4 feet on the ground.
Yes.
Their four hooves on the ground.
So the amount of times and the amount of hours I spent checking goats out in the fields to see if there was anything wrong with them, to check them out. A goat is so used to being out in the wild with loads and loads and loads and loads of skates. Sorry, I had a stroke 2 years ago,
yeah,
so my
take
words
it,
might
take
be
your
great.
Time, take your time.
But I remember for hours and hours trying to corner them to see, just to check them. Now, that's it, don't go near them. I had a wildcat here last week. For nearly 6 weeks, I was trying to rub him, and I was rubbing, and he's fine. But the minute I picked him off the ground, he went mad.
Okay.
And most animals would be the same. But Joe, listen, it can't be right to put somebody up in an elevated platform in a small cage. It can't be right. I don't care what people say. It's just not right.
And do you think now that the goat is down, it should stay down in perpetuity?
Absolutely. But wouldn't it be wonderful to have a proper crib or something down the ground that people could see the goat and talk to him if you want to and look at him and et cetera, et cetera? Because they're wonderful little animals, absolutely wonderful kind. And I mean, what most people see when they look up is the inside of the poor, upside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
His backside is what they're looking at, and under his belly. But listen, Joe, as regards...
Your main work with the LSPCA, was it with domestic animals or I'm sure you've seen everything in your day.
No. I spent a lot of time out the fields with cattle, and in regards, people give the farmers bad press. God, most of the farmers that I've came across, the people, they really love their animals.
Of course, yeah.
I know you're always careful to hit the middle of the road.
Mm.
In any line of life, they have people that shouldn't have animals, number one, because they can't take care of them. I know people who had animals and thought they were doing the right thing, but they weren't doing the wrong thing. So we got things like that sorted. It's very, very hard to level the field for us. But as regards that goat should never be up there. Not at all. It's not. And I don't care how many years it goes back.
Yeah.
It just should not happen. And I think people...
Are you familiar, William, with animal welfare law?
It looks
like the department only rang the Puck Fair this morning to say take the goat down. But they've known for... No, they haven't been in existence. But they've known for 400 years. This goat has been up there for 400 years.
Yes, but Joe, again, we're going back to politics again. I knew the minute you rang the department... And they would deal with that because the people in the department and the law that work there, they know that the animal shouldn't have been up there. They know it wasn't have been there, but nobody brought it to their attention. The minute you take it to their attention, they'll do something about it. It's just one of the things that happen is brief. I don't want to go mad, but coursing was another thing in Ireland years and years. Oh, sure, we've been doing it for years and years and years. But, you know, just because we were doing it for years doesn't mean it's right. Of course it doesn't mean it's right.
True for you.
No, I think I'd take my hat off to you. I don't think that goat will be going back up again. And if he does, it's a simple thing. A person living there, just ring the department and say, I don't think this is right. Please deal with it.
Okay. And you believe the legislation allows them to deal with it?
Oh, God, if you look into it properly, of course it can't be, because it regards checking the vets of the country do a fantastic job, and it's very difficult at times. Everybody's under pressure of different sorts at times in life. Actually, I just say this to you, when I was in up in the core force a number of years ago, Brian chap that died, but Brian Lennon, lovely man.
Great man.
I just introduced myself because I thought he was a beautiful person. And I said, look, I'm looking for the law, the library. Can you tell me where I'm going?
Okay.
And he said, come on, follow me. He said, so we had a grand chat going down. And he said, why are you checking up on the law wars? And I said, it's about to do with Limerick and about a bylaw. Oh, he said, right, I hope you have a good pair of gloves now, he said, because we're a great country for laws, but very, very bad country for enforcement.
Okay.
You know?
He was a very wise man who died way too young.
He was a wonder. That man did so much for this country, and he went to the grave with us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a lovely man, and he gave me that time, and he needed to bother. I said, he gave me half an hour of his time. Explain where to go and what to do, but I always remember what he said. Great for regulations.
And the other thing as well, I knew Brian because we were in college together. But
yes.
Brian Lennon, in his spare time, obviously he was a great family man, but in his spare time, he loved going hill walking. He loved going out in the open air. And I'm just thinking of what he would think of a goat being suspended. But anyway, thanks for bringing that up, William. Suzanne McDougall was another voice. Who was raised very, very coherently and eloquently on Tuesday. Suzanne, the question now is, the goat is down, but will he stay down?
Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, Suzanne. So you're glad that the goat is down?
Absolutely. I am thrilled, Joe. And firstly, I would like to say thank you very much for bringing this matter to the public.
No, it was our listeners.
I woke up this morning, you know, all morning I was thinking of the poor animal being boiled alive. I mean, it was just terrible. And I'm delighted that the Department of Agriculture acted. In fact, I took the liberty of writing to my local TD, having spoken to you yesterday.
Yesterday.
Martin Hayden, he's the junior minister for agriculture, and he's a marvellous young man that does great work in this county, i.e. Kildare. And he sent my letter, my email, onto the Department of Agriculture. I'm not saying it was my letter that affected anything, but I think, you know,
they did act. And if I could I just read you, Joe, two sentences from the act?
Okay, do please, yeah.
Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Yes.
Sorry, my phone is not. I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, it says a person shall not do or fail to do anything or cause or permit anything to be done to an animal that causes unnecessary suffering to or endanger the health or welfare of an animal, or neglect or be reckless regarding the health or welfare of an animal. And okay. It says then a person who contravenes this section commits an offence.
Okay, well, let's see what happens next, Suzanne. Let's see what happens next. Apparently, we have a statement from the Book Fair. I'll read that out after the break. Thanks, Suzanne.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And the Puck Fair sent us in a statement under the five freedoms of animals. Well, we went through this on Tuesday. Puck Fair continues to ensure that the welfare of King Puck is our highest priority. Well, it wasn't. Let's be blunt here, guys. And gals, however, we've mainly been talking to guys in Killorgan. You knew about this on Tuesday. You put the goat up last night. It was took to the Department of Agriculture to ring you to say, take the thing down. So it hasn't been your highest priority. Due to the unprecedented spells of hot, sunny weather, as I said on Tuesday, which were well predicted by our wonderful Met Office, due to the unprecedented spells of hot, sunny weather, King Puck was removed from the top of the stand this morning, Thursday the 11th of August, placed in the shade with a constant supply of cold water and food, and is receiving hourly vet checkups that continue to show that the goat has a good bill of health. Thanks for telling us nothing. You should never have put the goat up in the first place. And you knew the hot weather was coming and you were sweltering when you were on the programme the other day. And you've done the right thing, according to our listeners. Anyway, joe at rt.ie, 51551. Your email about any stories about Michael Collins that you were aware of or grew up with, will you put in the subject box? Will you just put Michael Collins in the subject box, please? We've been hearing a lot now about monkeypox. What an awful, awful name and an awful word. It's a terrible illness. Ralph Horley O'Dwyer has contacted us. Ralph, why have you contacted us?
Thanks for challenging me, Joe. Thanks for inviting me on the show. So I just had written a tweet yesterday about getting a monkeypox vaccine in France. And I was contacted by the show just to talk about my experiences. So I'm currently just on a cycling trip around kind of Spanish Catalonia and French Catalonia.
Okay.
And I'm aware that the monkeypox vaccine is available in France relatively easily to gain by sexual men. So kind of a few weeks ago when I heard about that, I said I'd try and get it. I've lived in France before, so I'm kind of familiar with the healthcare system here. And basically there's an app that you can log on to called Dr. Leave. You can kind of see, you know, available slots, and it's really as simple as kind of pressing a button and then, you know, kind of turning up and getting vaccinated. I wasn't kind of sure whether it would work out, you know, not being a French citizen and kind of no longer having a French kind of health card. So it was actually, you know, remarkably easy.
So I presume if you have an E111 card, you'll get
access. I actually had left it at home. I actually realized that.
No, but you can look the number up. It's very straightforward. Yeah. So you got the vaccine in a pharmacy, in a chemist shop.
In a pharmacy, indeed, yes, in Marseille. And again, so actually, it was one of the first four pharmacies in France to offer the vaccine, kind of in an effort to make the vaccine as kind of easily accessible as possible. You know, and that some people may not be comfortable going up to like an infectious diseases or like STI clinic, so they're kind of starting to roll it out in pharmacies as well, which I think is a really, really great move. Obviously, I suppose it's all bittersweet because I know in Ireland, you know, my friends and indeed patients actually still haven't been able to get the vaccine.
And what is the problem in Ireland as far as you know? Because HSE, we're on the 1 o'clock news saying we're rolling it out. Mm. But there's a shortage of vaccines. What are you hearing as a doctor?
There's definitely a shortage. And I suppose one thing to definitely state is that it's not for lack of, you know, people working extremely hard. Like, we're lucky in Ireland to have, you know, world experts in infectious diseases and public health and sexual health. And knowing many of the people kind of working on this, I know that they're working night and day and have been working relentlessly over the last few years. I think really the problem in Ireland is that we just don't have the infrastructure or funding to kind of roll out a public health programme quickly.
Yeah, but we did. No, hang on. Now, the HSE did a fantastic job and are still doing a fantastic, and the Department of Health, on the COVID vaccine.
Oh, no, 100%. No, yeah. I fully agree, though. I think as a doctor working in the system and working in infectious diseases clinically, I think all of my colleagues would probably say the same, again, in infectious diseases and in public health, that unfortunately, I suppose, you know, the funding hasn't really been given to these areas historically in Ireland. And kind of as a mm-hmm. public health system, we, I suppose, historically haven't had a very consistent, joined up kind of national healthcare service, which makes it kind of difficult to address outbreaks quickly. And I think that's really the problem I wanted to highlight more than anything else.
Do you believe the HSE when they say we cannot get enough supplies of the vaccine?
No, true. There's definitely a shortage, as there is, I think, everywhere. I think maybe the problem is more that, I suppose, the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, you know, announced over 2 weeks ago that the vaccine programme would be expanded. And I think to date, there still hasn't been anything clarified on how the vaccines that we currently have are going to be distributed. And I think that's maybe more the issue, that I think that it really is of, you know, vital importance that things are done as quickly as possible to, you know, to prevent any kind of unnecessary cases of transmission where they may occur. So I definitely agree that everyone is doing their utmost best to handle the situation, though I think it's really just more, it just highlights the kind of the lack of support and funding that this area has received, you know, in Ireland in recent years.
And Ralph, when you went to the, just briefly before you go, so you rang the pharmacy and said, this is my name. Did you have to give a number, your PPS number? Or?
No, it was. It's very easy. So in France, there's an app called Dr. Libby. Use it for booking GP appointments. You can literally, like, you can create an account. You just need an email address, a password.
But did they ask
you? Your address.
But do you mind me asking you, did they say, sure, please fill out this form to see, are you eligible for the vaccine?
So in France, it's actually based on self-assessment, which is actually another important point. So nobody, like, there's a very brief questionnaire to check that you're not allergic.
Okay.
So if you state that you're in a risk category, so I'm a gay man myself, you can, you just kind of tick a box and they'll give you the vaccine.
But you don't have to give details of your personal life.
You don't have to give details. And I think it would be,
and when you,
well in Ireland.
Oh, that would be, sure, that would not be acceptable. So when you went along to the pharmacy, was there a queue or?
No queue at all. So I literally arrived at the pharmacy. I kind of spoke to the pharmacist. They brought me into the little pharmacy dispensing room, gave me the vaccine, and kind of no problem at all. And, you know, there was no problem with me being Irish. As they said themselves, like, this is a public health effort, that it shouldn't matter where you're from, you know, or anything really in terms of getting it. And I think, I suppose, an important point is that I have the resources to kind of to travel, to get the vaccine, have the knowledge to get it here. Most people don't. And that in itself creates inequality. And I think there's a risk of further inequality being created if people like me can maybe travel abroad and get the vaccine there. So hopefully, I think we'll hear more information soon.
When you say, I know we're in the EU, both of us at the moment, from where we talk, but I'm just wondering, can people from the Republic go into Northern Ireland and get the vaccine?
I honestly actually don't know. I honestly don't know. I have definitely heard of people getting the vaccine in the UK, though actually the situation in Northern Ireland, I'm not sure.
Okay. Have you, Ralph, is there a lot of fear in the community about this monkeypox? What an awful name.
There definitely is. I've seen that from chatting to other friends and, again, to, like, patients I've been looking after. Obviously, it's a very stigmatizing condition. And, you know, even looking at the word stigma itself, it comes from, you know, the word meaning physical mark. And then in the case that it's visible, you know, it's enormously distressing for people. I suppose another problem as well that, you know, given the lengthy self-isolation period of about, you know, 3 weeks, that in itself causes a lot of problems. And unfortunately, at the moment, there isn't the same financial support given to people who need to isolate with monkeypox as to those who are isolating with COVID. ACT UP Dublin have been actually great in highlighting kind of that issue and some other kind of related issues. So I think the community as a whole has actually been really, really important in kind of bringing this to the fore and talking about all these issues.
Yeah, okay. Well, Ralph, I wish you well. Thanks for that information. I presume if people have occasion to go to France and they feel they're in an at-risk category, they can simply find out the information and if they wish. Now, hopefully the vaccine will be rolled out here. If the number of HSE people who've been on radio and the news programme saying it's on its way is any indication, they are taking it seriously. OK. Ralph, safe travels. And will you practice in France or will you practice here?
Probably not. I'm actually due to move to America soon, though.
OK. We'll
come back to Ireland down the line.
OK. OK. Well, safe travelling, Ralph Forley O'Dwyer. Joe, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We were talking about weaverfish stings yesterday and jellyfish stings, and someone mentioned horsefly bites. Claire, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Well, how are you? You haven't been bitten in the last few days, I hope.
I have. Two days ago, a horsefly and mosquitoes. Every week, for about 5 or 6 weeks a year, for the last couple of years, they seem to just be attracted to me in the summertime.
And what reaction do you get?
A big reaction, like a swelled lump on my arm, and very hot, very itchy at night, and quite sore and painful. So I used to have to take antibiotics, and then I started taking zinc and vitamin D, which helped. Mm-hmm. But I still have to take antihistamine and anticortisone. And I'm just wondering, really, if your listeners got a secret remedy or a natural preventative.
Yeah, I'm not mad about giving out tips on radio about... What do you think? There is a mystery nettles mixed with horse dung or something. Do you think there is? Would you not have heard about it, Claire?
Well, I possibly could have. I mean, a lot of people say, honey... or they say take vitamin B12. And I'm just wondering, are there any other sufferers who get bad lump on their arm or a bad reaction?
And is there? Can you spray beforehand? Is there any repellent you can
put on? I've
tried everything,
all brands of jungle juice and OTAN and DEET.
Okay. But to no avail.
To no avail. Nothing.
So you get big lumps. You get what sensations do you get? Do you feel nauseous or?
Yes, I begin to feel very tired and nauseous for a day and a half after it happens. The interesting thing is, it's horseflies and mosquitoes. I react the same way.
And have you met anyone, or even in conversation, said, "Oh, I get the same reaction."
Not as bad.
Not okay.
Yes. Not as bad. So I kind of know
mosquitoes.
For a couple of weeks in the summer I'm going to get bitten.
Mosquitoes?
Mosquito, yeah. And horsefly.
And where are the mosquitoes in Ireland? I know that they are in Ireland, obviously, and around
I'm living
stagnant
around the Black
water.
Rock area, and we have seen them in our garden.
This Black Rock in Dublin?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The horseflies are everywhere, obviously. We're down in the northwest at the moment, and I could see the horsefly on me.
Oh, God.
And I tried to pull it off 2 days ago, but unfortunately it got its teeth into me.
Can you feel the horsefly actually biting?
Yeah, you can feel like
there is a sting,
a sharp
it?
Penetration on your skin.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing for a couple of hours, and then it gets very red, big large lump, and it swells.
Okay. Well, I wish you well. Now, the call is out there, Claire.
Okay, thank you.
And, anything that suggests you take at your own risk and please consult your GP, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. I don't like to complain in this beautiful warm weather.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Claire. Kind regards and enjoy the rest of your break. Fergal Gallagher, you were stung by a jellyfish. What was it like?
Hi, Joe. Not too bad. I was out swimming on Monday. And swimming along, luckily I was wearing a wetsuit, so I was only exposed a bit, but I was swimming along, I swam into a jellyfish, it caught me just across the face.
Oh, God. What was that like?
It was somewhat painful, but I think because I didn't get tangled, they didn't get stuck on me, I just kind of brushed off them. It was stinging, I swam in shore.
But when you, what's the sensation like when you touch it? Is it gelatinous? Is it a jelly feeling when you touch the things?
I don't know exactly. It was so quick. I kind of felt something and looked up and saw this jellyfish and I guess pushed it out of my way because I got caught on my hand a bit as well. But at that stage, I guess I'm not sitting in the feeling. I want to get away from it. So
yeah.
Went and sung for a while and I went back and then kind of that a couple of hours later I was nauseous for a little while, but then by that evening I was fine and nothing too serious, thankfully.
Okay.
But there were lots of them out there, I think, with the warm weather, and someone was telling me overfishing as well, apparently. That the numbers are higher because the fish eat them, apparently.
Okay. Thanks, Fergal. No. By the way, is there anything you could have done to prevent it? No, there isn't, is there?
Not really. I mean, you can't really see them. Like, if you can see them, try and swim and avoid them, but, like, you're kind of...
And the weaver fish, people
there,
say...
They're going to get you.
People say,
I didn't get a weaver fish, thankfully. They're bad as well, yeah.
And the weaver fish, people say, at least try and wear those little booties you could buy for a couple of quid.
Even a pair of old
runners if you're not swimming. Don't be swimming out too far now. Thanks indeed. Fergal got her back.
Good back
after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
People are looking for Sean O'Shea to sing on Puck Air of Willow. We'll try and get it before the end of the programme to celebrate the liberation of the goat. Rosario Fuller. Oh, Jack is in Boston. Sorry, Jack. Sorry for holding you. Back to the Puck Air of Willow and Puck Air Saoirse this afternoon. They've taken the puck down. You say there's a festival every August in Boston.
That's right, Joe. Yeah. In the north end of Boston, which is the Italian section, they have the Feast of St. Anthony. And each feast, in the evening time, there's a statue of St. Anthony that actually a friend of mine, her father, was originally from Italy. And during the 50s, he went back and sourced a new statue. The older statue had kind of falling apart. So he brought the new one back in the 50s, and every evening they parade the statue through the streets during the festival, and people at the feast can pin bills, you know, dollar bills, 20s, whatever, to the statue. And then those monies are collected and then distributed to the local charities around the North End. So it's a celebration of St. Anthony. And I think, you know, I heard someone was volunteering to make a statue of the goat. I think a similar kind of tradition would be a nice celebration of what the goat represents. And I think that could be an idea.
You!